I promise you I won't preach more than a few minutes this morning. Only a couple of hours. God has a wonderful way of doing things, and he has a wonderful way of speaking to his children. One of the things I realized about Joshua and Moses on top of that mountain was that he held a rod in his hand. That same rod that he cast out over the river, the Red Sea, and split the sea in part. The same rod that he took from Aaron, and the same rod that budded and blossomed in one night. A miracle and wonderful God. Now, I don't believe in worshiping idols or worshiping rods, but I believe that rod, as much as the Ark of Covenant, represented the very presence of God, that rod represented also God's presence to his children and to each and every one of us. As we walk forward, the rod that we have and the staff we have, I believe, is the word of God. And the word says, my word is a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. A lamp to your path so that you can see which way you are walking and which way you are going, but a light to shine forward into the promises and those things that God has ahead for each and every one of us. I take my Bible reading this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 onwards. One day, while Jesus, am I in the right place here? No, I've lost my book. Oh, it's here. Can't see wood for trees, can I? Oh, it is the right one. One day, whilst Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with them. You might think it isn't strongly here this morning, but God not only heals the body, but he heals the soul and the spirit and the mind in everything. He doesn't heal the part, he heals the whole. And praise God for that. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man in a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. Isn't that typical? Now, one of the things I've realized recently in my prayer life, that we so often can get in the way of what God is doing and what God is saying. There are certain areas in which God was speaking to me recently and saying, Barry, I want you to stop praying for these people because you're praying amiss. Have you ever thought of that? I love my family and I pray for them, and I know a lot of them are going through problems and difficulties at this time. But I've learned to pray, Lord, now, Lord, if I pray amiss, Lord, please discount that prayer. I don't want to get in your way. I want to be where you want me to be. Sometimes the crowds get in our way. We're disillusioned by situations that come along our way. Things seem to go awry in many situations we didn't think were possible. But maybe we don't realize that God has a plan for each and every one of you. Jeremiah tells us he knows the plans that he has for us. They are plans for good and not for evil. They are plans that will bring us through to the ultimate victory and power that he has for each and every one of our lives. Hallelujah. So sometimes I might say to the children of God, let's get out of God's way and let him do his thing. And let's stand back and see the glory of God and the fullness of what he has for them. So they went up on the roof and took off some tiles. Ooh. Imagine someone doing that with one of these roofs in this weather. Even if it's only 6 inches of snow, it'd get pretty cold in there, wouldn't it? But you know, one of the things I realize too is that sometimes we have to climb up on the mountain. We need to get away from the crowd. We need to get away from those things that cause us problems and difficulties and situations in our lives that cause us to stumble along the way. And we need to get back to the Father. We need to climb up and be in the presence of the Lord, where we can seek his face and know what he has for each and every one of us. My son has been wayward for many years at this time, and I'm not talking my son Eric. My son in Africa, he has battled with many things and gone through many trials and tribulations over life. A few months ago, God woke him up at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And as he woke up at 3 o'clock, he wondered why, and then he realized he needed to get down and pray. And God started to search his heart, search his mind, and search his spirit, to go back on the resentments and things that are of the past that have caused him problems and difficulties. I'm reminded as I say this of that chorus, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, I pray, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Well, this is what transpired with my son. Very soon after this, he shut down his business. And before he realized it, most of his tools and stuff he had planked at home had all been stolen and gone. And so he was left with only himself and God to deal with it. But he felt absolutely washed and cleansed by the power of God as he confessed one thing after another and sought the face of God in the situations. Those things were probably many tiles in his life that he needed to remove, many tiles that caused him problems and difficulties along the way, many resentments and things, or tiles of a lifetime of religious beliefs and tiles of doubt. Did you know that religion can kill you? There are millions of people in the place where I work in West Hendon in London. There are millions of people there who are Hindus, who are Muslims, who are Buddhists in that area. From my own home in Willesden Green, I travel from Cricklewood through to Willesden on the high road through there, which is not even a mile long, I would say. And there are at least five Muslim mosques. In Neasden, close to where I live, we have the biggest Hindu temple outside of India. We are seeing a change where the world is trying to bring down Christianity. People are straying away from the faith. They are no longer happy with situations that are going on, and they're poking their fingers in God's eye. They're dealing in sexual immorality, homosexuality. We destroy more children every year than are born in our countries and in the worlds that we live in by abortion. We think Herod was terrible, but I think we're living in a far worse situation than Herod. And we need to get forward and start removing these tiles from our society. We need to stand up and be counted. We need to, like these four men carrying this man up on top of the roof, to take the determination in our heart that no matter what, we are going to pray through. No matter what situation we find ourselves in our country, we know that he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. We know that the battle is the Lord's, and we need to just stand back and see the salvation of God. We need to go know that he that is for us is not against us. I remember Archibald Haig Cooper, the man who started the Full Gospel Church and was part of the group that started the Assemblies of God Church in Africa many years ago. This man tells us how at the beginning of the Pentecostal revival of the 1906 period, when the Azusa Street revival started, that he was pelted in the streets for being Pentecostal with fruit and vegetables and stuff like that. Now, he was a very poor man, and he said, "Praise God," because he picked up the fruit and he fed his family with those fruit and vegetables. My God shall supply all your needs according to his great riches and glory. And if God saw it fit to use people with hatred in their hearts to throw fruit at them, well, praise God, he provided food to feed his family. He got a parcel one day that was filled with bones. And this parcel had a note with it and referred to the children to feed your dogs. Nice people those days. But we're looking at a far worse situation in the world today, because the church is compromising. The church is falling short of the glory of God. The body of Christ has turned its back on many things and started to compromise one thing after another. And I want to tell you today, the only answer to our prayers, the only answer to our situation today, is to stand fast in the Lord and pray and believe God to open up the way that we can shine for him. I love that first chorus we sang, the lighthouse. Doesn't mean it's a heavy house, it's a lighthouse. You know, I call our church in West Hendon the lighthouse. We have a church that comes right to a corner like this. There are two main roads, Wilberforce Road on one side, and we have on the other side the main station road. And I'd love to see them build a lighthouse right on that corner there and turn it into a prayer room for the glory of God. Beloved, we need people who will intercede, people who will take an extra hour every day out of their schedule and start praying and praying and praying and mean business with God. People who will take the word of God and read it and allow it to wash over their spirits and allow the living word, Jesus, who said in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was very God, to take part of that situation and walk with you in prayer for our nation and our country. I might get onto the sermon just now. I'm sorry about this. Yes, there are tiles of doubt. How many people doubt in this day? How many people fall short of the glory of God? There are tiles of unbelief. Too many times Christians set themselves against other Christians. We have so many denominations today. The difference between the Full Gospel Church and the Assemblies of God in South Africa was one has a central government, one has a local government. Another couple split up a church, another Assemblies of God church. Unfortunately, I know the history on these because I saw things happen when I was there. And the problem was that they differed on what day they should have communion. Should it be on a Friday or on a Sunday? You know, the Bible says whenever we come together in his name, let's share the bread and the wine together. I believe every time we gather round a breakfast table, we say the prayers and we glorify God, or round a table of celebration, are we not celebrating the Lord and the things God has given for us? I often think we tip God into communion in church with a little cup of wine and a tiny piece of bread. When Jesus had communion, he just had a big meal with his disciples. Maybe we should have a meal together and rejoice together and have great fellowship together in the things of the Lord. We have unbelief and possessions. I have a lovely car outside, you say. It's brand new. And people are going green with envy. Beloved, God doesn't look at us because of our finances or where we are. Another tragedy in the world today is prosperity gospels. People who beg half their sermon and say, "My God supplies all my needs according to his great riches and glory." They have their great cars, they have their second aeroplanes, but you know they also have their reward. And when we go to glory one day, God will ask us to give account for that which he's given to us. And I believe that when we give account, we must be faithful stewards of what God has given to us and be able to move forward in the things of God. I'm not a money preacher. I'm a believer that God supplies all our needs. But I think sometimes money must come to the fore, and we must realize possessions don't get us everything. Most people who have big lots of money are miserable. They have nothing. One of the great men, I think it was Rockefeller in his day, with all his millions, was living almost on death's row, living on bread and water almost, because his stomach couldn't take the ulcers and the worries he had through all his possessions. He had bodyguards around him and people who would stand around him to bolster him and help him along life. Until one man, I think he was a Christian, turned round to him one day, said, you know, the answer to your medical problems and your situations is start giving away what God has already given to you. And he took the man's advice. He started raising up situations where people could get scholarships. He started spreading out his finances into different areas. One of the things he found when he started doing this, his finances and everything else began to grow. His health began to get better. And he himself revived and was able to eat normal food and live a long life with the things of his life that God had blessed him with. It's not how much we have in this world. It's how much we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop holding on to the world. This world has an empty glory. Maybe that's another tile. You've got one hand on the world and you've got another hand on the church. You can't hunt with the fox and run with the hounds. You've got to do one or the other. Either serve the Lord wholeheartedly with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your spirit, in total and absolute surrender to him. And until you do that and break through the roofs and the tiles that you need to get through, you need to get back to God and say all to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. No matter what the cost they were determined to get to their friend, to Jesus. How determined are we to get our friends to Jesus? I sit on buses many times, traveling to church and back. And I've got people who sit next to me. I could sit silently, but I normally start off by saying, what a lovely day it is today. Or it looks a bit cloudy. The person will go, Or maybe they would respond. From there, I gradually get on to telling them about the greatest person I've ever known. His name is Jesus. It's said that opportunity has wings on its heels and flitters by so quickly that we can miss it so easily. But if we take the opportunity, we will see the glory of God and the things of God begin to move in our midst. I praise God for what God is doing here. And praise God that he has done great and mighty things already here. And that your stepping out by faith will reap great rewards in the future of what God has for you. We now go to the part, I'm not going to read the scripture, I think you probably know the story anyway, where they had broken through the roof. And I can just see those Pharisees with their long faces looking up at the ceiling as the dust began to fall. Maybe a tile or two began to wake up their senses and things around there. And as this mat is let down by four men, right at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as this mat is let down at the feet of Jesus, And as the crowd looked on, and Jesus looked at this man, and he didn't say, be healed. No. He said, your sins be forgiven you. He is the Savior. He is the one who paid the price for our sins. He is the one who is able to truly say, your sins be forgiven you. You don't need to go to a priest to get your sins forgiven. You don't need to go to a friend to get your sins forgiven. You need to go to the throne of grace and ask the Father to forgive your sins. You know, what are the tiles in our lives that need to be removed? Pride, alcohol, drugs, bad thoughts, laziness, prejudices, fear of man. The list could go on. And the one thing about this whole situation is if you let the Holy Spirit get hold of your spirit, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will bring you to a place when you start saying, Lord, these are tiles in my life. I need to get rid of them. These are areas in my life that are interfering with my walk with you. These are situations in my life that are causing me to stumble along the way. They're wrecking my prayer time. They're wrecking the Word of God as I try to read it, because all the time I'm convicted by these things. Let go of those things. Allow the Father to reach into your heart and your spirit and set you free. For he is the one who can set you free. And he will give you liberty in the Lord.